It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore legislation that aims to boost dwindling numbers of local newspaper reporters, and we get insights from veteran newspaper journalists on how to advance press freedoms and navigate artificial intelligence that is changing the online information landscape. Be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Brian Wilson is news editor of The Star News, a weekly newspaper in Medford. Brian, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Chris O'Leary joins us as well, president of the Wisconsin Newspaper Association and publisher of the Tribune Phonograph, based in Abbotsford, one of five weekly publications and two shoppers owned by the O'Leary family business, Wisconsin Central News. Chris, welcome.
Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. Let's start with artificial intelligence. Governor Evers signing into law this requirement that political ads using artificial intelligence must include these disclaimers. You wrote an editorial for the newspaper saying the law doesn't go far enough in punishing offenders. Can you elaborate on what you think of this law?
I'm the one who wrote that one, and I just don't think, we just don't feel that it goes far enough. It's $1,000 per time when you're spending millions of dollars on campaigns. Is it's like the toll for the bridge more than anything else.
Brian, you said that the fine will amount to the cost of doing business. How do you see it? How does it compare to the spending for these political ads?
Well, the spending is just excessive. What was that like? I don't have the number right off the top of my head for the last governor's race, but it was several hundred million, wasn't it? These are pennies compared to that.
Chris, what is your reaction to this law with AI and its potential?
I think it's good that they're trying to recognize that we need to identify when there's potential issues with advertising. With Brian saying that the fine is pretty low, the feedback we've gotten is, well, there is a law on the books that if you're not being truthful in advertising, there's already a penalty. I guess my concern is the cost of prosecuting something like that is usually pretty intensive, and getting anything tied up in the courts goes on quite a while. And so I don't think there's going to be a lot of people that are taking the time to go after anybody that might have said something about them in a campaign that's untruthful. And with the $1,000 fine, again, with the amount of money that's stuck in elections these days, is that going to be a deterrent? Probably not.
Brian, in your role as a small town weekly newspaper editor, how do you respond to the spread of misinformation in your community?
I think it's important that the newspaper have the role of being the verifier of information. It's the speak the truth and write the truth. And we just have to be, try to be a location where people can know they can rely on the information to be accurate. At least that's you're kind of holding a candle in the wilderness, but that's what we have to do.
Chris, we are hearing more about news deserts and news organizations shutting down and no access to local government information or even other happenings in a community. What are the biggest challenges for a weekly newspaper to keep its residents informed?
For us, we're very fortunate. We live in an area that we are pretty well covered by our communities are by local news. But get outside our area and there are definitely areas that don't have anybody covering their school boards or their city councils. And when you don't have that and you don't have the public informed of what's happening with tax dollars or new ordinances, you lose part of your community. The newspaper brings people together to vote on referendums and understand why there's a need for one. We keep people informed of, you know, law enforcement, you know, what's happening, you know, what are the things happening in our communities, in our schools. So I think at a local level, it's so important to keep community members connected that way to care about what's happening in their hometown.
We're talking about legislation and helping to strengthen local media with newspaper publisher and Wisconsin Newspaper Association President Chris O'Leary and Medford-based Star News editor Brian Wilson with us. You can join in questions and comments along the way, 800-642-1234. Chris, in early March, Democratic State Representative Jimmy Anderson introduced several bills that he argues are needed to save local news and, by extension, our democracy, end quote there. And he cited the fact that more than two newspapers stopped publication per week last year. How is the closure of newspapers a sign that democracy is in trouble? Can you make the connection?
I think when a community loses their newspaper, their residents lose that connection to understand what's happening, not only at the local level, but that branches off to your involvement in state and national issues too. And the local news is a way for them to get passionate, because what's happening in your backyard or on your main street gets you more involved than what's happening at the state or national level. So I think as people lose that connection, they're kind of losing the connection in other areas too. And that just goes up the chain where they don't care what's happening and they're just not informed of what laws might affect them or how to get engaged at a local level so that they do care about things at the state and national level too.
It spreads. Brian, one of these bills would create a fellowship program. Journalists would spend a year at newspapers, primarily in rural areas, underserved communities of color. What do you make of that piece of the proposal?
I don't know that it would have the solution. I don't know that solution would solve a real problem. I think the $40,000 that they would get after a year, they'd be gone. They would just the reality of it. So you'd have a first year reporter, which just historically is not the best year of your reporting career. You'd have these people coming out there, and I think a better solution would be looking at a longer term commitment for these communities. And looking at like a tuition reimbursement program or something like that, that would make it more affordable for people coming out of school, high quality people coming out of schools, to go off and work in underserved areas.
And so, as you mentioned, $40,000, the fellowship program would pay fellows $40,000 a year. Do you have concerns about state government paying the salaries of journalists?
I think it's a little bit, it's problematic to have that. There would have to be protections and such in place. I mean, ultimately your boss is the person who pays you. So they would need to put in safeguards, and they're currently not in the bill as far as safeguards against potential interference.
Chris, how could local news organizations get help with paying for reporters and their salaries, but also maintaining their independence?
I think Jimmy's idea is great. I think it puts a focus on newspapers that are struggling financially because we've lost advertising, which typically paid for the paper. So I think it's good that he's putting the focus there. And I think the idea of helping smaller newspapers be able to afford somebody on their staff is great, because I think that's the biggest barrier sometimes, is being able to afford to hire new staff. But like Brian says, how do you keep that person there or continue that if that person can't hire that fellow after the year is done? What's the answer? I'm not sure. I think we need to look at, our readers are going to have to be more of a, paying more for their papers probably to help keep the newspapers going, because advertising, we're losing local businesses. You know, there's not as many. You have more big box stores that aren't advertising. So I'm not sure. I think everything that he's doing to show that newspapers are important is great. I'm not sure for the ones that are at risk of closing, if it's going to be enough and in time. But I think it's important to show people that their local news is valuable. It's worth saving. And I'm glad the government is at least looking at it. I think typically we're not great cheerleaders for our own industry. So it's hard to say, oh yeah, give us some money from the government, because we're trying to cover that government and not cross boundaries that way. So I think it is an uncomfortable, but I think other countries have done it and they figured out how to do it successfully, so that people are still able to report on what's happening at government with the support, so that the public has that access.
Chris O'Leary is president of the Wisconsin Newspaper Association, publisher of the Tribune Phonograph in Abbotsford. Brian Wilson is with us, news editor of the Star News. That's a weekly newspaper in Medford. As we discuss the future of newspapers and related legislation to boost them, call in with a question. You can share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The decline of printed newspapers has resulted in news deserts and increased public mistrust of the media. That's from a report last year by the Medill Local News Initiative. We learn about legislative proposals here in Wisconsin that aim to support local newspapers and media projects. Call in with a question. You can share your comments. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Chris O'Leary is president of the Wisconsin Newspaper Association and publisher of the Tribune Phonograph in Abbotsford. Brian Wilson is news editor of the Star News. That's a weekly newspaper in Medford. Brian, let's turn to consortium grants. One of the bills would create a civic information consortium board to oversee grants for local journalism and media projects. What do you think of this idea?
I think it's a great idea. It's largely patterned off of one that's existing in New Jersey, that's existed for the past several years there. And it's done a good job of allowing community or local newspapers, local media outlets actually to do bigger projects. Often it's a matter of having the time and resources to do some of those projects. And this would be, as long as there's protections in place and to limit outside interference, it would be a great program.
Yeah, and New Jersey being a leader here in the country of a consortium like this, it also collaborates with some of the state's public universities, I understand. What do you think should be the role of higher ed in you know, furthering civic engagement?
I think higher education definitely has a role in in this, there, if nothing else, you come out of higher education with the ability to have more critical thinking, or at least you'd hope that you'd come out with that and be able to make informed decisions that have a deeper context, or at least appreciate those deeper contexts. So I think that would help guide the grants and programs that they would do.
Chris, according to this bill, the Civic Information Consortium Board in Wisconsin would include lawmakers from both parties. It would include UW System academics and representatives of local media. Do you have any concerns there about these groups deciding which media outlets would receive funds?
I would hope with the mix of people, they would be able to do a good job of deciding which areas need the coverage. Because I know in Wisconsin, we definitely have a news desert on the eastern side of the state. And I know as the association, we're trying to help that because we want all of Wisconsin to be covered by the news. So if there's a way to put people in certain areas that need more help, I think the group of people you have should be good at recognizing where those needs are.
Chris, the third local bill, local media bill, would create an income tax credit so more people can afford subscriptions to their local newspapers. What is your impression of that approach?
I'm kind of excited about that one because I'm hoping our readers would be able to take advantage of that. Because at this point, I know that we're going to have to raise our rates. And a lot of that has to do with postal increases, printing increases, just everything has gone up. And we've tried to keep our rates in an area that people can afford, but it's getting to the point where if we start selling something at a loss, that's not good for any business. If they're able to get a tax break on it, it might help when we have to raise the price. And our plan was to do that in January. Well, then the postal system has gotten so poor lately that we have been struggling to try and just get our paper to our people because we deliver everything by mail. And that has kind of set back our going forward with our price increase because we had a lot of people upset and calling because they weren't getting their paper. So we want to try and work through that. We've come up with some strategies to get their paper to them sooner. And now I can look at, okay, if we do have to raise our rate, and this may help ease that for our readers.
Talking with Chris O'Leary from the Wisconsin Newspaper Association and Medford-based Star News editor Brian Wilson about the future of journalism and newspapers. Call in questions and comments, 800-642-1234. So Chris, have your papers been hit by inflationary costs then?
Yes, there, and a lot of it is postal has been going up twice a year for the last few years, and for the future, it sounds like that's the plan. They're trying to overcome a deficit in the postal system, so it looks like as long as they're legally able to, they'll be raising rates twice a year, and that has definitely hit us hard. The cost of printing has gone up. You have paper, you have plates, you have ink, and it's just increases in those costs increase our printing. Wages have gone up. Electricity, everything has increased. So it's hard to absorb that and not have to raise rates.
Brian, in Medford, how optimistic are you that local newspapers will survive as the media landscape continues to change so rapidly?
I'm actually pretty optimistic that community newspapers will continue. I you know it everything we get changes and you deal with it as it comes along. There's been a lot of technological changes in the last, 150 years that, radio was going to kill newspapers. Television was going to kill newspapers. The internet's going to kill newspapers. Newspapers will kill newspapers. Things that we're going to come up in, we just have to redefine and have a more core about what our mission and motives are.
Thank you both for joining us. That is Chris Wilson, president of the Wisconsin Newspaper Association. Brian Wilson, news editor of the Star News in Medford. It's a State Capitol Report. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.